Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show,
I talked to a player. He once played for the Cubs, does not play for the Cubs anymore. And he told me, man, I really want to stay in Chicago. And I said, well, I don't, if you don't get a deal with the Cubs, why wouldn't you try to get a deal with the White Sox? And he goes, I don't want to play for the White Sox. And I said, okay, why not? He goes, nobody wants to play for the White Sox. And I was taken aback by that statement. I said, why not? You know, you're still in Chicago. He's like, well, I love Chicago, but I don't want to play for them.
Christopher, let's go.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Yeah, that was some hot stuff from Sierra Santos last night, talking about whether or not people would want to come to the White Sox as free agents. Glad that you are hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We're here tonight until Bulls basketball. The Bulls start tonight at 8:45. They are taking on the Trailblazers. There's a couple ways you can get involved with the show. You can text us at 670-11. You can call us if you want. I'd honestly love better calls than what we had for most of yesterday. 312-644-6767 is the number. There is some major news on the Bears front, which we are going to spend a lot of time talking about on tonight's show. Here's what we have planned for you. Around 640-ish, we're going to talk with Dan Durkin. Dan does an incredible job writing for The Athletic. He is nice enough to hang out with us occasionally and break down film. So we're going to talk about the Fangio effect with him around 6:40 tonight. Layla Rahimi, our friend from NBC Sports Chicago, Chris Tannehill's good friend, Layla Rahimi, she's going to be in the house from 7 until 8. She has made the request and Ask Herb. If you're wondering, like, hey, why haven't you done Ask Herb? Well, what we were talking about during transition is actually part of the reason. It is a caller-dependent segment. And I try not to rely on caller-dependent segments, and you never, it's a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get. Now, the good thing is that you can hit us with text at 670-11, or you can hit us on Twitter, and we can pull some of the better questions. But ordinarily, like what we would want is to have great callers for Ask Herb, so that's at 7:30, so I'm giving you warning right now. So Layla will be here from 7 until 8. 8 o'clock, Brandon Cristal, who does sports talk in Denver, will be with me, and we're going to talk about Vic getting the job with the Broncos. So if you're just jumping in your car and you're saying, well, what's going on with the Bears? They haven't gotten a new defensive coordinator. They did not get Todd Bowles. If he was on your wish list, you can cross him off then, because he decided that he's going to stay with Bruce Arians in Tampa. So those two guys get reunited. They were together in Arizona, even though Bowles played for Nagy's father, and there was a thought that if he didn't officially sign, that he would still be available and that he might end up being the Bears' defensive coordinator. So that's out the window. So now the Bears are on the search for a new defensive coordinator. Can I ask you a question? And you can text or you can call in on this. When it comes to Vic Fangio, are you more happy for Vic or more anxious about what happens with the Bears defense? Now, I know that you say that you care about a lot of these people, whether it's athletes or coaches, but that is sometimes proven to not be the truth. That you care more about the laundry than you do about the individual, because the laundry never leaves, an asterisk, sometimes it leaves, but mostly it never leaves. I found myself being more happy for Vic than I am anxious for the Bears. Not that I'm not anxious for the Bears defense, because I think that it goes to what Anthony Heron was talking about, what other players have talked about over the last couple of days as well, that you may think that a team is the same team going into a season, and you look at where the Bears are, and you say, well, the Bears are going to be back next year because they're going to be the same team. Well, they're not. And this is part of the non-sameness. And this, outside of an injury, is probably the biggest blow that the Bears could sustain with that level of sameness. That Fangio, who's great at his job, and the numbers speak for himself. When Vic Fangio got here, the Bears defense was giving up like 28 points a game. And this season, what, they give up 18 points a game? He got stuff out of players. He is not solely, because I think Kyle put in the work, but he is very responsible for Kyle Fuller going from the Bears are going to move on from him to he's an all-pro. I saw some people talking about, I know Robert Zeglinski, who I really like his stuff on Twitter, he was saying it's not a big deal. He might be right. I tend to lean toward it being a bigger deal than nothing. That all things being equal, you would prefer Vic Fangio be here. So if that's the case, then clearly there's going to be a drop if he's not here. And then you talk about, well, what was the next best conclusion? Well, for a lot of people, the next best conclusion was Todd Bowles would come in and be the defensive coordinator for this team, but that's gone. So now you've gone from, all right, your plan B, which a lot of people would have been excited about, to it not being, now you got to go plan C. And I say, let's get nuts. Shout out to Prince. Rex Ryan, come on down. Let's just get stupid with it. Don't look at me like that, Christopher. I've had enough of you. And that look, you better believe Rex Ryan knows defense and feet. He would be great at this. Did I say something? There's other candidates out there too, and there might be young defensive candidates who can do with the defense what Nagy did with an offense. Ed Donatell, who coaches the defensive backs, and has been a defensive coordinator before, is reportedly, according to Brad Biggs, out of contract, which means he can go with Vic if he wants. So maybe that was your plan C. And we don't know if that's the case. He might, I'll tell you this much, and I said it on a video on Twitter. I feel like the Bears defensive coordinator job is a great job. Because I think, I don't know, but I think that your coach is going to leave you alone. That your coach is going to let you run your room, is not going to be in your business, not going to be all up in the videos.
Dancing.
He's going to let you do what you need to do. So, and you have a Mac. You have Khalil Mack. You've got Khalil Mack. You've got Akeem Hicks. You've got Danny Trevathan. You've got Roquan Smith. You're stacked. If you're a defensive coordinator, I would imagine that there is a proverbial fist fight going on to get in front of Matt Nagy and make your case. I should be the defensive coordinator of this defense because of blank. I see people throwing out Greg Williams. Kill the head! Kill the head! Kill the head of the snake! I don't think that Greg Williams is the type of guy that they want at Hallis Hall. I'm not saying he's not qualified. He's really qualified. He is schematically superior to a lot of defensive coordinators in the game. But here's what was special about Vic and the relationship with Nagy from my vantage point. Nagy never had to worry about getting knifed in the back. He never had to worry, even though Vic wasn't his guy. He never had to worry about where his defensive coordinator's focus was. He doesn't have to worry about an ambush. I'll give you a perfect example. You may have heard about this. Remember when Lovie Smith was head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know what happened to Lovie? He got knifed in the back like Caesar on the Ides of March. I get that right, Herbie? Caesar, Ides of March, March 15th?
I'm not sure.
Brutus and the boys?
Yes, you got that correct.
Okay, thank you, Christopher. Herbie not up on.
I know he got killed by some his own senator.
Yeah, but that's what happened to Lovie. You know, figuratively, not literally. He's fine. And I would imagine, and that monkey in Costa Rica found this out, that if you come for Lovie, you're in trouble. Because he's got a machete. Anyway. Nagy never had to worry about whether or not Vic was looking out the front door or trying to knife him in the back or anything or trying to undermine his authority. Respect my authority! Christopher, I'm in a really silly mood today. Just so you know.
I can deal with silly. Let's go.
All right, good. So you don't have to worry about any of that. And His subdued ambition, I think, was something that was very valuable to the Bears overall. And it'll be missed. Whomever Nagy brings in, that person is going to be looking for a come up. Which, I mean, they should. They should put themselves in a position, if the Bears are great, to be a coach. Vic was like, I'm going to do this defensive thing, and if they come to get me, great. If not, all right, I'm not even going to worry about these interviews until our season is done. Oh, sad face. All right, let me get to you about this. 312-644-6767. Texter says, how about Lovie? How about no? Why would Lovie do that when he's going to be making way more money than whomever the Bears bring in as their defensive coordinator? To be the head coach of the University of Illinois. What's he getting? $4 million? $5 million? How much money did Lovie making this year with that contract extension?
It was a lot. I mean, money didn't change, but he made the same amount of money. I think Tampa prorated his, or Illinois prorated his Tampa contract. So he's making decent money.
Yeah, he's. Why would he do that? But Rex Ryan, let's go.
Is it okay to touch him again?
I mean, you know, I'm not mad at him. Whatever floats your boat or finds your lost remote. Also on the show tonight, I've got Club Dub t-shirts. That's right. I was hoping that I would be able to give you Club Dub t-shirts while the Bears are still playing, but they're not playing. So, but I would imagine you still want them. So I have three to give away, a medium, a large, and an extra large. I'll let you know how you can win them a little bit later on in the show. 312-644-6767 is the number. This texter says, I heard Rex Ryan, kind of poetic.
Can I smell him?
Sure. Rex also a big fan of what the Bears have done this year. So he was one of those early adopters of the Bears. Him and Lewis Riddick, Bucky Brooks, I think, is in that group. Bryant McFadden. 847 text says, Marvin Lewis? No, thank you. He's a offensive guy, isn't he? He was a defensive guy first. Offensive guy? Either way, don't want him. Cannot win with him. Can't do it. Wednesdays at 4. St. Charles and Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to call and say I'm happy for Vic. I'm sorry to see him go, but, you know, he's worked his entire career for the opportunity, and good for him. And I think with the talent on the Bears, I think you're right. Your earlier comment, I think people are going to be lining up to take this job, and we're going to be just fine.
I hope that is the case. I didn't say that the Bears are going to be just fine. I said that people were going to be lining up, and I do expect that that is the thing. How could you not want this job? This is the job you've been waiting for. It's a major league job. Round Lake and Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for taking the call. I too, just like the last caller, I'm happy for Fangio for getting a new gig. I think the Bears' defense got distilled by his efforts. And I think whoever takes it over is going to have a really good crew. I think it is one of those destination jobs now, and I can't wait for next year. It's going to be good.
I appreciate the phone call. I would probably take a little bit of umbrage with the idea of destination job, because destination job is a job that you go to and you stop at. I would still think that that would be a building block or a stair step job. Like, yeah, you could be successful with the Bears defense for a few years, but you're using that success to catapult to a head coaching job, either college or pro. Joe's out in Schaumburg. Hey, Joe, you're on the score.
Lawrence, good evening, man. Thanks for taking the call.
What's happening?
I'm on the opposite side from these other callers, man. I am anxious. I want to keep some continuity, and I definitely don't want any of these retread guys like Greg Williams or Rex Ryan or something like that. So if he's qualified and if, you know, his vision matches up, I'd like to see some promotion from within with, like, Ed Donatell or something like that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, maybe that's what they end up doing. If I think it would be a cool job for Ed. It's funny, though. Me and Herbie were talking about this. That with Donatell, if they do succeed, how much credit does he get? And does that matter? It might not matter. There are some guys whose egos are not bruised by not getting the credit as long as there is team success. I don't know Ed Donatell. I don't know Mike DeCourcy. So those are things where I don't know what motivates him. And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he just wants to be a part of a winner. Being part of a winner is a great, great thing. We'll take a break. 312-644-6767 is the number. I got a Club Dub shirt for you, courtesy of the guys over at Bandwagon Champs. You should follow them on Instagram. They're the ones who came up with the Club Dub shirts. I got a medium. So whoever can fit themselves into a schmedium Club Dub shirt, 312-591-6700, and we are going to hook you up with one. Back after this on The Score.
Wow, they're like really soft.
Who's that?
The mastermind.
Who's that? The mastermind. Yeah, the mastermind is off to Denver now to be the mastermind of the defense of the Denver Broncos and be the head coach of that team. We're talking about Vic Fangio moving on and what happens next. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until Bulls basketball. Some of you are so mad if I gave away a medium Club Dub shirt. There are smaller people who listen to this show. There are women who can fit in a medium. Sorry. Not everything has to be a double X. I don't even have any double X's. So if you can't fit into a medium, too bad. The shirt wasn't for you. We'll see if you can fit into a large or an extra large. But maybe there is a 120-pound woman that wants to represent Club Dub, and she's got herself a nice shirt now. Yes, Herbie?
I mean, otherwise, you can go to Bandwagon Champs. They have a website.
Yeah.
They got some shirts available.
You can go look at their Instagram page and go get yourself a shirt.
Yeah, only three
people. Sorry that the free shirt that we offered you wasn't in your size.
That's what I was saying, but it's not free then. It's not free. They have to go spend money then. I mean, therein lies the issue.
Yeah. This free shirt that I'm like, oh, how dare you give away? Don't you know who your audience is? Yeah. You know who listens? People who are in shape and women. So they'll fit into a schmedium.
Yeah, the guy that was caller six said, yeah, I'm a medium.
Yeah. He's going to look great in his Bandwagon Champs Club Dub shirt.
And I had a double X one, and I still wear it. It looks real nice on me. You know I'm a bigger cat.
Yeah, you're slimming down, though, coming down. Yep. Out here eating Brussels sprouts, stinking up the whole hallway. But, you know, I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. He is putting Brussels sprouts in the microwave.
Those are actually fine. I ate green beans today. They were terrible.
You didn't enjoy them or they smell bad?
No, they smelled neutral.
Okay.
And they were terrible. I just want to call my mom and say, you know what? You made some great green beans. Thank you. Because green beans by themselves without any seasoning, ugh. So, I had to put the chicken on top of it.
Is this like a whole new you 2019 type deal? Or
no, I went to the doctor in like December, and the doctor's like, hey, do things and, you know, stop being that.
That blood pressure was a little high?
That cholesterol
was a little high?
Yeah, it was high normal. The cholesterol was a little high. LDLs were there. I don't know.
All right. I was very pleased with my doctor. Got that 114 over 70 blood pressure. I was like, whoo! That's why the kid has been on the elliptical. I was a little nervous, though, when my doctor was like, let's get that cholesterol check. I was like, ooh. But it came back normal, too. Texter says he called in and tried to get it for his wife. You damn right, 608 Texter. She can fit into a schmedium. It's all good. Out to Lamont. Soon, Herbie will fit into a schmedium. Hey, Tim, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to comment about Fangio. I'm happy for him, but I'm a bit more concerned about the Bears' future for the defensive coordinator. I'm not totally convinced that it's a coveted job. If you think about it, you got a defense that's at the top of their game. They're I don't know, are they top five at least? They got to be at least top five defense. If you come in as a defensive coordinator, your expectations are that it's going to stay all the way up at top. If you start declining, now you're looking bad. If you go to another job where maybe the defense isn't quite so good and you make some improvements, well, now you're a savior. You look a lot better.
I kind of feel like you got a loser's mentality there. I got the pieces of what every coach wants. I got the players. So the idea of, well, let me go to a worse situation and build it up, I don't know. It feels a little loserish. Shout out to Beck. Soy un perdedor. No, senor! No, senor! No, senor! I got a story about that guy coming up a little bit later on. Burbank and Benjamin. Hey, Benjamin, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. I want to go opposite from the last caller. Nothing against Vic. He's a great coach. But honestly, with the talent that we have, I don't want to compare, let's say, basketball, for example, Tyronn Lue with LeBron in Cleveland. LeBron left. What happens to Tyronn Lue? I think we got the talent to keep competing at a high level. And I truly feel something that really changed was the culture. And I think either way we go with anybody, as long as they play hard, I think they're going to be fine. There's no way they're going to let this team go down.
So you don't think coaching matters?
I think it does.
So you don't think that Vic Fangio's relationship with Kyle Fuller made him a better player? Because I do.
Yeah. You know what? Can I throw a name out there for a potential coach? And I don't know if it's even possible.
Why don't you answer my question first of all? Benjamin?
No, I mean, it
you
does
don't, you
help.
Don't, you
Trust
don't think
me,
that, that the relationship that Vic Fangio had with Kyle Fuller made him a better player?
So let's say we throw, like, let's say Lance Briggs, if he's interested. We know he's stuck around with the Bears. He's been a defensive play caller. Why can't we go, not saying that age is an issue, but stay with the culture. Briggs is possibly a Hall of Famer. He will be a Hall of Famer. Why can't we look for a player that can fit the culture, keep the guys together, because we know what they're going to bring.
All right. Thanks, Benjamin. I appreciate you calling in. Look, if Lance wants to coach, I'm all for him coaching. I don't think that his first job coaching should be defensive coordinator. Call me crazy.
No, he's got to be more of like a linebacks coach and kind of work his way up. Learn the whole defense, because he was a great linebacker, and that's what he will be good at.
One would think that would probably be where he would start. And if you look at the career path of Ron Rivera, it starts even lower than that.
I'm with you on the
quality control.
I'm with you on the whole defense dynamic he's had with the players, with Kyle Fuller. Look what Prince Amukamara tweeted out today, just hashtag curse words as soon as he found out.
Yeah.
Like the,
but I mean, they're going to do that for anybody.
I know, I'm just saying.
For the most part, unless it's Mark Trestman.
But they were all extremely well-knit within Vic, and bringing somebody in is going to change this. I mean, it's
going to
change
it. It's going to change. I don't think that it's just as easy as, oh, we'll just plug in defensive coordinator X and everything's going to be fine. I do think that they're – apparently what it sounds like to me is that you didn't value Vic Fangio as a coach. Like that's – for as much love as Vic got in Chicago, him walking away immediately negates everything that he – that you said that he accomplished while he was here. That's the way it sounds. Will, Matt, and George. Hey, George, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Can you hear me?
Nope. Let's go to Villa Park and talk with Tony. Hey, Tony, you're on the score.
Yeah, hi. Okay, I'd like to see Donatel get promoted, and I think it's logical. And the fact that your coaches are successful and they move up, isn't that what you want? That's kind of the natural thing. One other thing. Could we trade Kevin White for Robbie Gould?
Robbie Gould is a free agent.
Ooh, can we get him back?
You already have $9 million tied into a kicker. I mean, you could. I don't see how you can go out there with Cody Parkey as your kicker next year. I would imagine Robbie would be down. By the way, do you guys know how hard coaching is? Because the idea of like, oh, let's just throw Urlacher out there. Brian Urlacher doesn't want to coach. You know what Brian Urlacher wants to do? Play golf, play ping pong, and be Brian Urlacher. Coaching jobs are, especially at the NFL level, it'll uproot your life. I'm not saying that there aren't guys who have, like, Lance, I think, would make a great coach. But the idea of just insert him as a defense coordinator, everything's fine. That to me is... it's unfair to everybody. Real quick, out to Galena and Lou. Hey, Lou.
How you doing there, Lawrence?
Good.
All right, here's what I got. I got, maybe he's a little bit too old, but I say we go with Dom Capers.
I don't know, man. His last few years at the Packers,
Well, yeah, but Lawrence, he had old guys. They didn't do a lot. They didn't give him any help with the roster. They were, you know, Clay Matthews was getting old, and it was just getting crazy. But here's another thing: whoever they bring in, I heard on the earlier show they were talking about bringing in maybe bring a coach in and change over to a 4-3. You can't do that. Then you're going to really regress.
Well, sub packages. You're basically in nickel all the time, like 70% of the time now. And the Bears were running like a hybrid. So I'm not that married to it has to be a 3-4 or 4-3. I think these coaches are creative enough to mess around with what the front looks like. But I appreciate it. You know what? We'll get an expert opinion on it. Dan Durkin will join me in the next segment, and we'll talk to him about the effect that Fangio had. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Obviously, the big news of the day has been Vic Fangio taking the job in Denver to be their head coach. So we thought that we would talk a lot about his impact. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until Bulls basketball. Dan Durkin is a frequent guest of this show. He used to work here at The Score. We love the work that he does for The Athletic right now, breaking down the Bears. I felt like he was the right guy to come on and explain the Fangio effect. So we're very happy to have Dan on the show. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I know that there are a lot of Bears fans that are concerned about this level of change with Fangio leaving for Denver. So I'll start with you. Well, what's the schematic impact of Vic Fangio?
I think schematically, I mean, Vic is a guy who has always kept things rather simple. He's just allowed his players to do them well and to do them fast. The one thing that, Vic isn't bringing with him is Khalil Mack. You know, he's not bringing Kyle Fuller, Akeem Hicks, and Leonard Floyd and all these people with him. So the talent is going to stay in Chicago, which is obviously very crucial. But the mind behind the scheme is going to be different next year. So obviously you're going to get, you know, maybe some different ideas about how to approach certain situations. You know, are we going to bring pressure here? Are we going to, you know, play more conservatively here? Are we going to man up? Are we going to play zone? Those types of things. That all is going to change. And I think that the continuity aspect of this can't be overlooked, because when you think about I go all the way back to when Ryan first took the job. The first guy that he brought in for the head coaching position at that point in time for an interview was Todd Bowles, you know, who's now finally, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And then when you think about last year when Vic's contract was up and they were having some, you know, potential other candidates come in, the one that they went for was James Betcher, a guy that I actually liked a lot out of Arizona. He's now with the New York Giants. But the similarity between Todd Bowles and James Betcher is attack. Those guys are very much pressure-heavy, aggressive, exotic fronts, you know, so a much different approach philosophically. So I wonder now if this is an opportunity for the Bears to maybe align a little bit closer to what Ryan potentially wanted out of the coordinator position. But I think Vic's presence, his calm, all of those things, the players loved playing for him. I remember talking to Prince basically saying, I kind of got the feel for what Vic was going to call based on situations. So that familiarity is going to be a blow to the team. But I think there's a possibility that you can see the scheme get a little bit more aggressive under the next coordinator that they might bring in.
I'm glad that you brought up the idea that the continuity does matter a bit, because I know that there are some people that were saying, oh, you know, it's we love Vic and everything, but if you have the players, it doesn't matter. And my rebuttal to them would be, look at the way that Kyle Fuller's career turned around. And it turned around in big part because of the offseason before his fourth season and Vic taking a special interest in getting the most out of that player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he challenged Kyle. There were questions in the building about Kyle's desire to play, and I think Vic was at the center of that. He was really wondering, you know, and kind of challenging and questioning just how great Kyle wanted to be. So I think that can't be overlooked, that ability to, maybe show a little bit of disappointment. Because, I mean, Vic is a guy, the thing I like most about him is he's not going to mince words. He's not going to be colorful. He's just going to tell you like it is. And, I mean, he just never really seemed impressed with a lot of things when you heard him in his press conferences. So his ability to challenge players in not a way that he's like, you know, talking them down or being aggressive, or, you know, you think about a personality like a Greg Williams or something like that. He just basically said, these are the expectations. Can you meet them? This is what I need in this profile of player at this position for my scheme due to its criticality. And Kyle absolutely stepped up to the challenge, and he stepped up to the challenge again this year. So being able to get the best out of his players, I think, is huge. And, you know, yeah, I think situationally he called really good games this year. When you think about it, I mean, when you think about the breakdowns that the Bears had, let me think about the 75-yarder to Randall Cobb and the 75-yarder to Albert Wilson, that wasn't because of the call. That was because of poor tackling and guys getting a little bit out of position. So I think for the most part this year, really like sound game plans, sound execution. The Bears never really exposed their secondary because he's not a guy that brings a lot of pressure. So I'm going to be very interested to see what he does with a similar set of really productive pass rushers. You have a young emerging guy in Chubb, and obviously Von Miller's probably the best pass rusher in football. So he's got a nice pair of bookends to start his scheme out there in Denver, but he definitely has his work cut out for him.
Why do you think the relationship was able to not just work but flourish for Vic and Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I think that Matt probably just realized, look, I've got to get an offense, you know, completely up and running in one offseason, which is a really difficult task. And I think that he probably just trusted Vic. He probably spoke with some of the players and heard the reverence with which that they held him. And I don't think there was any ego involved. And I think that's the part that I'm kind of learning about Matt, is Matt's smart enough to realize, hey, I have enough on my plate right now. I mean, he even brought in, when he brought in Brad Childress, I thought that was smart. And the reasoning behind that was, he's like, there are extra duties now of me being a head coach that I didn't have previously. I need somebody that can still talk the same language with the guys when I'm not in the room. So the ability for him to bring in people who are, you know, on the same level of him, I think is great. Because, I mean, you think about coaches in the past, I think about some things that happened with Lovie. Sometimes guys feel a little territorial, like, hey, if I have a guy that's, like, maybe better than me, is he going to take my job? Is he going to outshine me? That's never been the case with Matt. I think Matt's whole thing has been about just doing what's best for the team. And I think that the fact that those two have very selfless attitudes and have the ability to work within their own domain, split it down the middle. I'm not going to meddle on your side. Don't do it on mine. We'll share some notes. We'll challenge each other in practice. But it just seemed like it was a very effortless and frictionless relationship from the beginning. And I think it speaks to both of their professionalism and just lack of ego about it.
We're talking with Dan Durkin of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at DJ Durkin. That's where you can find him. You made the case for Ryan Pace perhaps being a little bit more aggressive in the way that
the next defensive coordinator comes in and does their job. I'm curious if what you how you think Matt Nagy will handle the way that his staff goes and maybe the balance between offense and defense now versus when he walked in and was just trying to get his feet underneath him.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because when you think about the primary responsibilities of a general manager, I remember talking to Ryan when he first got the job. He was talking about, like, look, the two biggest challenges for me right now are going to be, number one, managing a coach daily. You know, like that managing that relationship is going to be something new, and then managing the salary cap were the two things that he felt, you know, he needed the most experience, and he just needed to do it because he frankly, you know, he realized that those are two blind spots for him. So I know that he had like a whiteboard of candidates. You know, that's a primary responsibility of a general manager is to keep a tab not only on, you know, obviously talent acquisition, but talent acquisition from a coaching perspective. So you always need your little short list of candidates because just like this, people are going to get opportunities. You hope you hire somebody who is going to succeed to the point where you have to have a succession plan in place. So I guarantee you he has a short list of candidates, and I guarantee you Matt's probably acquired a few as well. So now that he's a little bit more established and these two have some success in year one of this partnership, I bet you Matt has a little bit louder voice at the table when it comes to influencing who they interview and who they ultimately hire. I know this is Ryan's decision, but I am eager to see the list of candidates and how quickly this turns around because, I mean, in my estimation, this is the best job on the market right now. I mean, you talk about like the Jets head coaching position. That's a tough position to really walk into right now. There's a lot of uncertainty with that. So this is a ready-made situation for either a young ascending defensive mind or a guy that's, you know, ready just to kind of stay the course because, you know, you have four all-pro players already there on your roster. Only two guys are unrestricted free agents, so now you have a chance to really stay the course and potentially take this thing to an entirely different level.
Of the guys that are available, who do you like to match up with what the Bears already have?
You know, it's kind of hard for me to you think about some of the coaches that were just let go. So, you know, Steve Wilks is a guy that comes from Ron Rivera's tree, but that, you know, it's more of a 4-3 base scheme. And I mean, 3-4, 4-3, I don't really get fixated on that too much because everybody's running sub packages nowadays. You know, everybody's running nickel basically as their base. So I don't get too hung up in those types of things. Vance Joseph is an interesting one as well. I think that his apex in the NFL is probably defensive coordinator. So those are two logical ones. I think about somebody from Baltimore, maybe Joe Cullen, their defensive line coach. You're going to want to find people that have come from, situations where they've been able to obviously limit points, but I think that what's so critical in the NFL now, you have to stop the pass. Everybody talks about you have to stop the run. You have to stop the run. Yeah, that's fine, but that eventually the team's just going to start throwing the ball on you, so can you stop the pass? So it's those types of people that I'm looking at that have been creative with really preventing, you know, large explosive gains, and I think that that's one of the things that Vic was so successful with this year. Other than those, you know, two plays that I mentioned and then the Albert Wilson one, there weren't many deep explosive passes against the Bears this year, and I think that's a testament to sound coverage schemes, guys understanding their responsibility, communication in the back end, and then just really a sound plan. So Ed Donatell is another one that I would think as well as a guy who's been a defensive coordinator previously. He's out of his contract, but he would maintain that continuity as well. It's easy to see him following Vic to Denver as well, but when I think about just how critical secondary play is now in the NFL, Ed Donatell's been doing this for a long time.
I went back and watched the game a couple times, and
yeah, me too.
I got really frustrated with the 12 men on the field penalty and the 10 men on the field during the touchdown. I'm wondering how much of that do you think had to do with Eddie Jackson not being available?
It definitely played a part in it for sure. You'd think though, I mean, that does come down to the coaches. I mean, you have to be very clear when you're subbing in, subbing out, like what package is leaving the field and what package is coming onto the field. So like the guys raise their hands and then the guy that's on the field that they're replacing is supposed to acknowledge that and come off the field as well. There were a couple sloppy transitions there with the Bears throughout, and that's just very uncharacteristic, especially when you think about, you know, a team like the Eagles. They went primarily primarily 11 personnel. They were a 12 personnel team. They ran the majority of their snaps out of 11, so they weren't really changing personnel all that often in the game. So you do look for veteran leadership. I'm looking at like guys like Danny Trevathan or, you know, somebody else. In that situation on the 10 men, you could see Adrian Amos in the back kind of looking like, hey, wait, something doesn't look right, and he had his hands up. Call a timeout. You know, just be smart in that situation, just given how crucial it is. So you do want everybody to hold everybody accountable in that situation. But for me, when it comes to, you know, making sure personnel is right, it's got to come from the back seven because they have the best view of the field. So either your second level or in that situation, Amos, who was the single high safety, has to call something out there and let them know, hey, we're not right. We're not ready for this play.
What did you think were the failings of the offense in the game?
Yes, yeah, so I've got a piece going up tomorrow about this. You know, they were almost conservative to a fault, and to me that was the biggest disappointment. Is if I were to tell you before the game that the Bears defense was going to hold the Eagles to 16 points, you'd have been like, all right, cool, the Bears are going to win, you know, 24-16, something like that. But I think that Mitch's injury definitely, you know, hampered them a little bit. But if you're going to be that team that's going to play conservative offense because you have an elite defense, you need a, you know, rock solid kicker, which they just didn't have. But schematically, Schwartz stayed true to what he's been all year. He played almost exclusively dime personnel on passing plays. I'll have all the numbers out there for people tomorrow to consume. He played zone for the most part. I think I counted 9 man plays between cover 0 and cover 1, and the 2 cover 0s came on the last drive of the game when they tried to just sell out to get the Trubisky. So very conservative and very predictable. He was the defensive coordinator with the fewest number of more than 4 man pressures. That was the same case. They didn't bring anybody until the last drive of the game as well. So the thing that I've noticed about Mitch and what smart defensive coordinators have done throughout the years, they've zoned him out. And what that does is it gets 7 sets of eyes on the football, so they can cog down his escape route, you know, if he's going to break the pocket. But it also forces him to be an anticipatory thrower, which is just something that he really isn't at this point in time. He needs very clear reads. He needs very, very clear understanding of where he should be going with the football. You saw it all the way back in week 1 against the Packers, and he talked about how the zone defense threw him off. You saw Wade Phillips do it in his first game back when they played the Rams, and then you saw that plan kind of got put out there like, oh, this is the way to do it. Number 1, you're going to slow him down as a runner, and you're going to make him really have to be precise and accurate with his throws. So the fact that he still hasn't been able to crack that code, I think, is problematic. And then the third aspect was they needed to go down the field earlier. You know, I talked about it on the BBM pregame show. Should have had a target on Avante Maddox from the first snap of the game. A 5'9" rookie, you have to isolate on your best matchups. That was their best matchup, and it took them until late in the third quarter to really start targeting him. And when they did, the offense really jump-started. So I think that the conservative game plan early on backfired to them because they should have been attacking from the get-go.
Yeah, I thought that Maddox was showing you pretty clearly that he was jumping routes, and he was a prime candidate to get double moved.
Double moved, exactly.
And then they did it. I mean, they did it, but it just felt like it was happening very late in the day. When Matt Nagy says he needs 2, maybe 3 years to get his offense in, what does he mean?
So he's got a base foundation that he wants to put in, and then he's going to want to add things on top. It's a pretty simple installation in year 1 when you think about terminology, where guys line up, splits, all of those things that people take for granted. Those things are very precise, and they're done for a reason. Depending on where a wide receiver lines up limits the amount of routes he can actually run. If he's inside, there's a good chance he's going to leverage you to the sideline. If he's outside, he's either going up the field or breaking in. So getting people to understand why they're positioned, where they're at, making sure their splits are right, and then more importantly, where Mitch's eyes need to go based on his pre-snap reads, that all of those things need to become second nature, and they need to become reflexive. I talked to Allen Robinson about that after the game. He's like, look, man, in April, we were just trying to figure out what plays were called and like what, you know, like what terminology. So it's like learning a new language. And then it's not a reflex yet for all of these guys. So I think he has a small install at this point in time. He's going to challenge them more in the offseason next year. So you should see a nice step forward. And then by year 3, it should be, I have the luxury and the autonomy to call any play in my playbook. You guys know exactly where you're lining up. This should just be second nature at this point in time. Because when you look at Donovan McNabb's progression, Alex Smith's progression, they didn't have this huge incremental jump from year 1 to year 2. It was like year 3, 4, 5. That's when they really started to see those numbers come up. It's a lot of volume. It's a lot of checks. It's a lot of route conversion. So there's a lot to this offense.
what impressed you most about this season?
I honestly think that the defense took things to an entirely different level. I mean, I knew that this defense had the potential to be really, really good, but I think that what impressed me most is Ryan's willingness to go out there and make a bold move to address the biggest weakness on the roster, which was pass rusher, and then just to see how it elevated all 11 players on defense. Kyle Fuller got better. Eddie Jackson became a household name, like I was talking about in the preseason. Prince Mukamara played a lot better, even though he's probably the guy that teams are going to pick on. Bryce Callahan is going to get paid this offseason. So just the willingness to address your biggest weakness on the roster in a bold way and have it pay off just shows me that this team is kind of figuring it out and realizing, hey, we need to make moves to do this. Just so seeing that type of move is just very, you know, non-Bears, if you will, and then just to see it really materialize the way it did, I think was fantastic. I personally think this team arrived a year earlier than they expected, so I think that the future is very bright.
What would you suggest they need to get done in this offseason?
The offensive line, to me, is the biggest issue. The other thing about Schwartz, he trusted his front four to control the line of scrimmage, and they did. They dominated the Bears up front, particularly just taking the running game away. So I think that the Bears need a little bit more strength on the interior, definitely need some more depth on the interior. You need your succession plan for Kyle, and then obviously you need to get a little bit better at the tackle position. A speedy running back is something that stands out to me. When you do have these teams that are going to play, you know, too high zone, they're asking to be run on, but Jordan Howard was just not fast enough to eat up that cushion and put a safety in conflict and then be in a position to, you know, juke him and then not be off to the races. So interior offensive line, offensive tackle, running back to me, and then obviously whatever happens with Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos, they're going to have to do something about the secondary as well.
Dan, thanks so much for your time. Read Dan's piece in The Athletic tomorrow. Will be a breakdown of the Bears, and no one does it like him. That's why we miss him here, but we love that he's doing what he's doing over at The Athletic. Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lawrence.
That is Dan Durkin of The Athletic. Great content as always. Back after this on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.